Morgan Beatty, NBC News.
The Sensible Spectaculars are here. Rambler for 1965. Three distinctly different Rambler sizes. Spectacular change in style, size, and power. The most sweeping change in automobiles this year. See the Sensible Spectaculars for 1965 at your Rambler dealers now.
Listen again on the hour for Monitor News, brought to you by Wynn's Car Care Products. This evening, the report of the Warren Commission to investigate the assassination of President Kennedy was released. In part, it dealt with rumors and speculations which surrounded the two violent principals in that tragic and dramatic episode, Lee Harvey Oswald and the man who killed him, Jack Ruby. The commission report attempted to dispel all illusions about a relationship existing between these two men. Here are excerpts from the report.
Speculation. Since Oswald did not have the money to repay the $435.61 he had received from the Department of State to cover part of the expenses of his return from Russia, he must have received help from some other source. Ruby lent Oswald money to pay back the loan and lent him small amounts of money thereafter.
Commission finding. The commission has no credible evidence that Oswald received any money from Ruby or anyone else to repay his State Department loan, nor that he received small amounts of money from Ruby at any time. An exhaustive analysis of Oswald's income and expenditures made for the commission by an Internal Revenue Service expert reveals that Oswald had sufficient funds to make the State Department repayments from his own earnings.
Speculation. Just before Oswald was shot by Ruby, he looked directly at Ruby in apparent recognition of him.
Commission finding. The commission has been unable to establish, as a fact, any kind of relationship between Ruby and Oswald other than that Oswald was Ruby's victim. The commission has examined television tapes and motion picture films of the shooting and has been unable to discern any facial expression that could be interpreted to signify recognition of Ruby or anyone else in the basement of the building.
Speculation. Ruby and Oswald were seen together at the Carousel Club.
Commission finding. All assertions that Oswald was seen in the company of Ruby or anyone else at the Carousel Club have been investigated. None of them merits any credence. Coming up on Monitor 64, we will have a complete report. This is Monitor, and I am Frank Blair. Tonight we are deferring report number 3 of Campaign Countdown, originally scheduled for this half hour of Monitor, for a special NBC News report on the Warren Commission report. As you know by now, the special investigative group convened by President Johnson last November to probe into the assassination of President Kennedy issued its long-awaited report this evening. The panel, headed by Chief Justice Earl Warren, made public the official results of its 10-month investigation, a document which contained 296,000 words, including the testimony of 552 witnesses and countless exhibits. The commission had been charged with the task of determining everything it is possible to learn about the tragic events of last November 22nd in Dallas, Texas. The story, as we learned it at the time, is recounted now by NBC correspondent Richard Harkness.
If any news story was ever covered in minute detail and in deep background, it was the assassination of the late John F. Kennedy. Within moments that fatal day in Dallas, listeners to NBC Radio heard an outpouring of news bulletins from NBC correspondents.
This is an NBC News bulletin. Shots were fired near President Kennedy in Dallas. Here is a report from Robert McNeil, NBC News, with the presidential party in Dallas.
Several shots were fired as President Kennedy's motorcade passed through downtown Dallas. Crowds screamed and lay down on the grass. As the motorcade went by, police broke away and began chasing an unknown gunman across some railroad tracks. It was not known if the shots were aimed at the president. Repeat, it is not known if the shots were aimed at the president. This is Robert McNeil, NBC News, in Dallas, Texas.
And here is a flash from the Associated Press in Dallas. The Associated Press reports that the president was seriously wounded. This is not confirmed. This is a flash. Repeat, this is a flash from the Associated Press in Dallas. They report that the president was seriously wounded by an assassin's bullets.
Information is still sketchy at this time. We have just talked with two eyewitnesses, a man and his wife, who were standing near the president's motorcade. They said that a shot rang out from behind them. They thought at first it was a firecracker. Then, according to the eyewitnesses, one woman who was in a hysterical condition told us that the president was hit in the side of the head and fell into his wife Jacqueline's arms.
People screamed and lay down in the grass as the shots were heard as the motorcade went by. Police immediately fanned out over a wide area. A small Negro boy and a white man said they had seen a man with a gun in the window of a building overlooking the road.
Representative Albert Thomas, Democrat of Texas, says he's been informed the president and Governor Connally were both still alive. A Secret Service agent, Clint Hill, said he's dead, as the president...
Mrs. Kennedy, who was sitting beside him in the open car, was not hurt, but the governor of Texas, John Connally, was also reported wounded.
The president has been given blood transfusions in an attempt to save his life. Two Roman Catholics...
Then order came from that first shock and disbelief. The president was dead. Police arrested a Lee Harvey Oswald. Oswald was interviewed in the custody of Dallas police.
I didn't shoot anybody, sir. I haven't been told what I'm here for.
Do you have a lawyer?
No, sir, I don't.
But the public knew within hours that Oswald was the killer. He had not only killed a second man, a police officer. Oswald had been seen leaving the textbook repository building where the death weapon was found in a clutter of boxes. The ugly weapon, with its deadly telescopic sight, was traced to Oswald through a mail-order house. Well, 2 days after the assassination, the nation's grief was confounded. The country witnessed by the sounds of NBC radio saw on NBC television Jack Ruby gun down Oswald. NBC's Tom Pettit reported.
There is Lee Oswald. He's been shot. He's been shot. Lee Oswald has been shot. There's the man with a gun. It's absolute panic. Absolute panic here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Detectives have their guns drawn. Oswald has been shot. There is no question about it. Oswald has been shot. Pandemonium has broken loose here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. How did you see it, Jeff?
I was standing over towards the left. Oswald came out. He had the same look on his face that he always does or has. Suddenly, what sounded like a loud firecracker rang out. He grabbed his side and he said, "Ow!" and fell to the ground.
Fell to the ground. And I saw the flash right on his black sweater. The flash. Oh yeah. The man is had a hat, a dark hat, a brown suit. He was stocky and strong. Came to him and he put the gun right there. I saw the flash over the black sweater.
Then the background. We learned of Oswald's life, his affinity for communism shown by his trip to Russia, his attempts to reach Cuba by way of Mexico. Likewise, reporters pieced together the life of Jack Ruby. There was a backdrop there of tawdry striptease joints. We learned, more important, of his emotional instability. A more of his story and of the shooting was then told at Ruby's trial. Still, there were questions. Was there an assassination plot? Did the Secret Service give the president adequate and efficient protection? Well, President Johnson knew that the country and the world deserved to know the answers. He appointed the president's commission, which reported this evening. This is Richard Harkness, NBC News, Washington.
Tonight, the lengthy document produced by the commission provides answers to most of those questions. It says there is no evidence to prove that there was a conspiracy, international or domestic, to take the life of President Kennedy. And it lays the full blame for the assassination at the hands of Lee Harvey Oswald, a 24-year-old misfit who himself was murdered by a Dallas nightclub operator 2 days later. The report paints the most complete portrait of Oswald yet made public. Here is Robert McCormick with that portion of the report.
The Warren Commission report put a great deal of effort into trying to figure out just what sort of person Oswald was. But any language used to describe him mentally sounds feeble and far too restrained. The word disturbed crops up repeatedly along with isolated, belligerent, and hostile. Yet taken together, the characterizations somehow seem inadequate, or as the report points out, none of these possibilities satisfactorily explains Oswald's act if it's judged by the standards of reasonable men. But these basic facts seem to stand out. Since early childhood, Oswald had been remote, screened from other people. He had no intimate friends. Even as a very young boy, he had no playmates. His virility was questionable, but his pugnaciousness toward others was not. Along with this, quite logically, came a deep hostility toward other people. His mother was included, as was at times his wife and his brother's wife, whom he once threatened with a knife, according to testimony. And eventually, he even had a falling out with the brother himself. Yet the much-publicized and apparently much-misunderstood psychiatric report on Oswald's behavior made on him as a result of skipping school in New York did not assess him as a paranoid, and according to the commission, it could not have been used to predict that he would someday resort to violence. In the Marines, he seems to have been a misfit, partly because of personal sloppiness, partly because of his inability to accept discipline when it was applied to him, and partly because of his general attitude toward other people. His general hatred for mankind is considered a possible reason for his at times noisy support of Marxism and his work on behalf of Castroism in Cuba. While all through this runs a Walter Mitty theme, Oswald is represented as thinking he would someday be a great man. He fancied himself as the commander, thought he might someday be prime minister of his country. His wife says he compared himself with the great men of history, but sometimes seemed content with thinking he would be recognized 10,000 years from now as a historic figure of great vision. Oswald was not stupid, was above average in intelligence, scored well on such things as vocabulary and job aptitude tests. But he had difficulty keeping jobs, a problem he seemed to attribute to his pro-communist attitude, but which usually stemmed from his own personality. Financial troubles always seemed to haunt him, beginning 2 months before he was born when his father died. This added to his resentment against the world and the people in it. The Warren Report says there's nothing to indicate that the anti-Kennedy feeling that supposedly was fairly widespread in Dallas had any appreciable effect on him. As the report puts it in its conclusion about possible motives, many factors were undoubtedly involved, and the commission does not believe it can ascribe to him any one motive or any group of motives. Robert McCormick, NBC News, Washington.
We'll have more on the Warren Commission report, including an insight into Oswald's married life, the commission's reply to some of the worldwide rumors about a conspiracy, and its conclusions and recommendations in a moment. Right now, you're on the Monitor Beacon. One of the many personal problems which the commission found had beset Lee Harvey Oswald was a stormy married life. His young Russian-born wife, Marina, tells in this NBC interview about her husband's final visit to her the night before the assassination. He had been living alone in a Dallas rooming house.
He told me the reason why he came to see me, because he homesick. I was really, a little bit mean. I won't talk with him, and he tried to talk with me. He won't if I go to live with him in Dallas. He asked me 3 times about if he rent house. He won't if I stay with him. He want to keep all family. in the same place. He tried to live just himself. But I tell no. I want if we live till Christmas with Mrs. Payne. I live with Mrs. Payne till Christmas. And this help us to save money. Because Lee, when he live just himself, he don't spend too much money.
As soon as the terrible details of the Dallas tragedy sped round the world, rumors and speculation began to circulate. There were claims of a conspiracy, some said, engineered by rightists. Others said it was the work of leftists. The commission sought to answer those charges. Here is Russ Ward.
If Lee Harvey Oswald were alive today, if he still had available to him the due process of law, and if his story had been unfolded in a courtroom before a jury and before the eyes of the world, there still would persist rumors and speculation about the, quote, real story of what happened. The commission report points out that myths have traditionally surrounded the dramatic assassinations of history. Wherever there is an element of mystery, says the report, misconceptions often result from sensational speculations. There have been sensational speculations in the Lee Harvey Oswald case. They revolve chiefly around rumors that another person or other persons were involved in the burst of gunfire that took the life of Mr. Kennedy, that Oswald and Jack Ruby knew each other previously and somehow were connected in the crime, that Oswald was receiving help from extreme leftist elements or extreme rightist, or from a foreign government. There, of course, will never be cross-examination or testimony from Oswald on these points. And for this reason, the commission made an exhaustive probe of every allegation linking Oswald to a conspiracy of any kind. Here, then, are some of the conclusions as the Warren Commission dealt with rumors one by one. Quoting the report, the commission has found no credible evidence that Oswald was a member of a foreign or domestic conspiracy of any kind. Nor was there any evidence that he was involved with any criminal or underworld elements, or that he had any association with his slayer, Jack Ruby, except as his victim. Witnesses at the scene of the assassination saw a rifle being fired from the sixth-floor window of the depository building in Dallas, and some witnesses saw a rifle in the window immediately after the shots were fired. There is no credible evidence that shots were fired from the triple underpass ahead of the motorcade or from any other location. The two guards patrolling a railroad overpass above the triple underpass and the 13 railroad employees on the overpass at the time all affirm that no shots were fired from there. An amateur photographer, Robert Hughes, took a picture of the depository building at 12:20 p.m., just 10 minutes before the assassination, that allegedly showed two silhouettes in the sixth floor window. An examination by the FBI and the U.S. Navy Photographic Center revealed a shadow in the window caused by cartons near the window. Another widely published photograph allegedly showing Oswald on the front steps of the depository building shortly before the motorcade passed proved to be a photograph of Billy Lovelady, an employee of the depository who somewhat resembles Oswald. The commission, together with the State Department, the Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, and other government agencies, conducted an extensive review of the circumstances surrounding Oswald's defection to the Soviet Union, his life there from 1959 to 1962, his trip to Mexico in 1963, and his visits to the Cuban and Soviet embassies while there, and his associations with the Communist Party USA, the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, the Socialist Workers' Party, and other groups and persons of questionable background. There was no evidence to show that Oswald was employed, persuaded, or encouraged by any foreign government to assassinate President Kennedy, nor was there evidence that he was an agent of any foreign government. Among the rumors connecting Oswald with Jack Ruby was the allegation that Oswald was on his way to Ruby's apartment when he was stopped by Patrolman Tippett. The commission found no evidence that Oswald and Ruby knew each other directly or through a third party, nor is there evidence that Oswald even knew where Ruby lived. This is Russ Ward, NBC News, Washington.
The commission's report also lists a number of recommendations based on its findings. Here is that portion of the document covered by Peter Hackus.
The Warren Commission's recommendations based on its findings provide perhaps the most interesting part of the lengthy report. Among other things, the seven-member commission raps law enforcement agencies for the way President Kennedy was being guarded. Not enough was done by the Secret Service, for example, to point out those people who might present a danger to the president. Advance preparations were insufficient. Buildings along the path of the motorcade were not thoroughly pre-checked. The FBI failed to tell the Secret Service that Oswald was present in Dallas, and there was not nearly enough liaison between the Secret Service and the Dallas police. The Dallas police were criticized for failures that led to the shooting of Oswald by Ruby. In this section, the commission also criticizes the news media, hinting that the presence inside the Dallas jail building of reporters and cameras might have interfered with Oswald's civil rights. Among the recommendations, the commission proposes the setting up of a top-level committee to completely revise and update the ways the Secret Service protects the president. It suggests the transfer of all or parts of that responsibility to another agency. Meantime, says the report, the Treasury Secretary should appoint a special assistant to supervise the Secret Service. The commission says that henceforth the president's personal doctor should be very close to him at all times. Mr. Kennedy's physician was many cars back in the Dallas motorcade. It recommends that Congress pass a law making the assassination of a president or vice president a federal crime. And it warns the State Department to be extra careful in allowing defectors who have renounced their U.S. citizenship, as in the case of Oswald, to return to this country. The most poignant bit of irony in the report is the disclosure that just a few hours before he was shot, Mr. Kennedy himself observed to his close friend, White House Assistant Kenneth O'Donnell, that it would be easy for someone to shoot the president, that all he'd need was a high building and a telescopic rifle, that there was nothing anyone could do to defend against such an attempt. Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.
Now that the long-awaited report is released, what of those rumors and doubts that have been rife around the world? Here is a report on worldwide reaction by Morgan Beatty.
The London Press Monday morning editions became the bellwether for European reactions tonight on the Warren report. The Independent Times, the most conservative British newspaper, printed a page and a quarter of textual extracts from the report and two columns of news, most unusual emphasis. Headline over the text, U.S. security criticized over Kennedy murder. This is a natural British reaction. The British people have been very sensitive. Since the Profumo scandal and other spy cases demonstrated British intelligence and security officials incompetent or lax or both. The Times editorial says there's no mistaking the stamp of honesty on the report. It is thorough, frank, scrupulously careful. The Times goes on, the report demonstrates the meaninglessness of the tragedy and a redeeming feature, said the Times. The American public did not panic into belief there was a sinister plot. Lord Bertram Russell tried as he could, as president of the Who Killed Kennedy Committee in Britain tonight, to lend credence to the communist propaganda legend that American right-wing oil men conspired to kill Kennedy. He admitted he had not read the Warren report, said New York attorney Mark Lane had filled him in, said the Warren Commission was a group of incompetents. And even though the Warren report was available well in advance to the Russian press, Komsomol Pravda tonight ignored it, repeated the old right-wing conspiracy charge. Communist reaction seems to be conditioned by the author Tom Buchanan, who was dismissed from the Washington newspaper in 1948 as a communist. He's now in Baltimore, lives in Baltimore. He wrote the book Who Killed Kennedy, now in Europe. The Warren Commission answered all the rumors and false reports in the Buchanan book, as we have heard, and emphasized that not one shred of evidence has come from rumors spreaders in 10 months. Not one, only suspicion. In other European reaction reports, in Germany, the headline in the leading Frankfurt newspaper this morning, or tomorrow morning, our time, is Murder of Kennedy, a Lone Wolf's Crime. The other Frankfurter newspaper, front-page headline, Secret Service was not on the alert. The newspaper ran a five-column story on the Warren Report on page 3. In the Netherlands, Dutch radio broadcast a special five-minute transmission from its correspondent in New York. The correspondent said editorially, the report should do away with suspicions that the murder of the president might have been the result of a conspiracy. He added, the report shows a genuine effort to create a better American society.
And so that terrible event of last November 22nd, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, has been bound into a historic legal document which, despite the care and professional skill that went into its creation, will never completely lay to rest the questions and doubts that somehow always are generated by an act of supreme tragedy, the assassination of a great public figure. Next week, on this segment of Monitor, we will resume our coverage of the political campaigns with report number 3 of Campaign Countdown. I am Frank Blair. This is Monitor 64, nationwide on NBC. Out in Utah, listeners hear us on KCPX, Salt Lake City.
Monitor great variety listening on the NBC Radio Network.
This week, an airliner taxied down the runway of the Washington airport with 40 passengers and crew aboard. It took off and then swerved to avoid a military plane. Guess who, of the 40 persons aboard, broke an ankle and strained a back because their seat belts were not fastened, as the stewardesses said they should be. The stewardesses. Oh, that's who.